I'm going to just begin something tonight. I made up, if you want, I made up these booklets because I'd like to go through the book of Joshua. And it was on my heart to do this tonight. This isn't going to take real long for the first lesson. If you're a note taker and you would like this booklet, it's just $9.95. Okay? Just to defray the cost of printing and also help me go on vacation. No, this is yours. I don't have pens to give out, but I'm going to hand this out in a moment. If you want one, if you're a note taker, this way you'll see that what's helpful. If I get lost, you won't. You know, and then you can go home and say, "It was real good talk. I filled in the blanks. I got it all down." But before we do, let's just stand together and ask God to bless our hearts to receive His Word. Shall we do that? Father, first we want to thank You for these testimonies and each of these young people who shared. Thank You, Lord. You are their God. You are their Redeemer. And they are Yours, and You're leading and guiding. And Lord, we go through things, but still we see and know that the Holy Spirit is right there and leading and guiding and working in us. And we thank You for that. We thank You for Your Word. We pray, Lord, as we take a quick look in Your Word, that You'll prepare our hearts, that our hearts will be ready to learn, and we'll say, teach me, Holy Spirit. Give us hearts that will receive the Word and hearts that are quick to respond to Your commands. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Could I ask a couple of you gentlemen to... If you don't want one, please don't take it. But if we could distribute these quietly without disrupting the service too much, okay? And if you'll turn to Joshua, the book of Joshua... If you don't know where that is, come see me later if you're a counselor. We'll talk. Okay? Hopefully you know where Joshua is, right? Okay. Well, again, I want to thank you. And we're going to, somewhere during the week, we're going to have five more or so testimonies as well. I've enjoyed these so much. Also, tomorrow night we are going to be praying for the staff and the counselors, and also we will be having communion. Let's prepare our hearts for that. That's tomorrow evening. Before I forget, tomorrow morning, please bring your Bibles to, and also your worksheet, if you took one, if you'd like, to breakfast, because we are having a table worship. Okay? Life's filled with transitions. I think some of my larger transitions in my life was when I turned 20, 21, 22 in that time, maybe earlier. You know, it varies. But really, we never escape transitions. Things change. Places, people, things just change. Some of the changes we look forward to. One of them, I hope for you, it will always is, if you... are in that call to that, getting married, it's a quite a change, right? Jobs, if you start a job, it's a transition, it's a change. We look forward to that sometimes. We look forward to these different changes. But there's also changes that we don't look forward to, the unexpected ones, the ones that we never thought would happen, but they occur. And it's a transitional time for us. And we say to the Lord, I wasn't counting on this, but nonetheless, here I am. I'm in this situation. So the thing is, though, whether anticipated or dreaded, you're going to see tonight that the principles are the same concerning them. One of the best examples I could think of is from the book of Joshua, because it was a transition time. Transitions lead to crossroads. And that's why I called the crossing, because they crossed the Jordan, but also because the changes that happen in our lives, these transitions, they often, if not always, bring us to a crossroad, an intersection, you know? And when you get to that intersection, it's always kind of frightening and scary and confusing. Which way do I go? You know, There's, you know, this way, that way. What? It's always going to be decision time when you come to that that crossroad, and you know that's normal. But the important thing is what we decide and what we do when that transitional time brings us to that crossroad. Our knees might knock. We might be fearful, maybe even a little confused, not knowing what to do. But it's all about the decision we make when we're there, and how we react and what we do. Looking at Joshua now, if you open to Joshua 1, we look at the story of Joshua. I'll give you some brief history. I think all of us know this story. Of course, the Israelites were captive in Egypt for 400 years, and God raises up Moses. Moses goes, obeys the Lord, leaves Egypt. He's out in the wilderness for about 40 years, but God gets him to come back, and you know through these great and mighty plagues, the children of Israel are delivered and called to just march through the wilderness to a land that God had promised them. And not a real long march, but we know the story of what happens. They begin to cry in that wilderness, and they say to God, "You just brought us out here to wipe us out, to destroy us, to finish us." And they do this to a point where God finally says, "You know, all this time you've been complaining and murmuring and saying that I just brought you out of Egypt to wipe you out. Guess what's going to happen? What? You're going to get wiped out. And your children are going to inherit the land. Your children are going to receive the promise." And that generation never made it to the promised land. For 40 years, they wander around the wilderness until they die. And finally, here they are, and that's where we are in Joshua. They are at a crossroads now. And it's that now it's a new generation that's ready to accept the promises of God. Let's look at it. Joshua 1. It starts out with this. After 40 years, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and this people, to the land." And what we're going to see here are that at this crossroads for Joshua come the promises of God to him. I want you, as we read this passage, look at the great promises of God that were given to Joshua. We read, again, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel." Now look at verse 3. God says to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." Now isn't that a great promise? How would you like God to come and say to you, "Everywhere you put your foot down, I'm going to give you"? You know? I'd be out in the parking lot with my feet in some of your cars. Been thinking about yours, now that the window works. But how about that? Isn't that an awesome promise? I'm going to give you success. Everywhere you go, everywhere you put your foot, you know? This camp would gain acres, because we'd just be marching around this lake, you know, taking up land. That's a great and awesome promise. He said to him, "Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." Verse 4, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory." What a promise. 5, it gets better. The promises get greater. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. What if one night you're in bed, right? You're praying to the Lord. All of a sudden, God sends an angel. And the angel says, "God wants you to know something. Jason," he goes, "nobody's going to stand against you." you know, ever. You know, you'd walk up to those guys and that boss and say, what are you talking about? Right? I'm taking this. I mean, would a promise like that? Look at the promise that he had given to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses. Just think about the things Moses did. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? That's the promise of God to Joshua. These great promises. But here's the thing when you come to a crossroad. The promises of God don't always match up with the realities of life. And let's take a look at it. Let's follow on with me from 6 to 9. The very next verse. If God had stopped speaking to Joshua, it might have been a different story. But you know, God says, oh, and Joshua, by the way, be strong and of good courage. You have to stop right there. God, you just gave me all these promises, and now all of a sudden you say, why do I need to be strong and of good courage? I mean, if you just said, everywhere I put my foot, God, that's your promise. You said that no man's going to be able to stand against me. You said, just like with Moses and the cool things he did, and now why would you need to tell me to be strong and of good courage? Why? Because here's the promises of God, and here's reality of life. Here's where we are. Here's life. We're going to see these things come together, but let's go on. For to this people, verse 6, you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And in case you didn't get it, Joshua, verse 7, only be strong, and very courageous. You know, now you're thinking a little. And he says, oh yes, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He begins to give some instruction. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. 9, have I not commanded you? For the third time he's telling Joshua, be strong, of good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, here we have great promises. And here we have God saying to Joshua, but the reality is you're going to need to be strong, brave, and keep some of my instructions. So I want to bring to us tonight from the Word of God two principles that we see about the promises of God. Here's the first one. God's promises come with specific instructions. Study the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find out something, that God's promises have specific instructions. Real quick example, the example of Abraham. God had promised Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. In that chapter 12, God had said, I'm going to make you a blessing to all nations. You're going to be a blessing. In fact, the Messiah was going to come from Abram. But here were the specific instructions. Abraham, but I need you to do some things first. Get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house, and I'll show you. There's other examples in the Bible where God made a promise and then he gave specific instructions. Here's the second thing. God's promises come with conditions. They come with specific instructions, but God's promises also come with conditions. I think the best illustration is found with the high priest Eli. God had promised Aaron a promise. He said, I promise you, Aaron, that every one of your offspring will serve me as high priest forever. But look what God said to Eli. This is from 1 Samuel 2, 22 to 26. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, and I should say you know the story of Eli, unfortunately he let his sons do whatever they wanted to do. And here they were priests and they lived, they slept with women, they cheated in the sacrifices. And God comes and he says in verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. Isn't that something? Isn't that grave? Isn't that frightening? God says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Folks, thank God for his promises. But we need to understand these two things that from the Bible, that very often when God gives you a promise, you should be listening for some instructions. That when God gives you a promise, you should realize that there might be some conditions. Hey, how many of you have had at home a promise box? You know what a promise box is, right? Aren't they great? You know, I got in trouble one time because I said they were Christian horoscopes. I know. Brother Keith, take it easy. You know? But it's kind of like this. It's kind of like this, and we trust the Holy Spirit, so don't get all on me. But, you know, you take one for the day, and it says, surely thou shalt prosper with great intelligence. I made that verse up because I don't want to mock on the Word of God. But you pick up that promise, right? And you go, oh, my day is set. And I don't want to knock that if that blesses you. But the thing is, you don't know the whole context of the verse. You don't know. And you're going, I got a promise of God. You know? You're passing them out at work. Hey, take a promise. Receive a promise. Get a promise. You know? You want to... And we don't know the context. You don't know the Word of God. You don't know because you're just running on that promises. And then sometimes we're shaking our fists at God when, you know, the boss fires you at work. Or it doesn't come through. Why? We need to know the whole counsel of God. You need to know what are the specific instructions that come with that promise? Or maybe, God, what are the conditions you want with that promise? Right? So we need to be careful. We need to know the Word of God. Now, here's the thing. I have, if you're taking notes, you'll find there that with the children of Israel, that first generation, they took the coward's detour. You know, when it came to this crossroad, when it came to this transitional time that led them to this intersection, it was confusing, it was scary, and it was frightening. And when God's promises, you know, I will give you peace, didn't match the reality of down here when their knees were knocking and they were afraid of what they were afraid because of that evil report of the spies of the giants in the land. You know, here all of a sudden those great and mighty promises, I'm going to give you this land. It's great. It's awesome. When those promises were up here and they came to the banks of the Jordan and they came back and here were giants in the land and they're going to get wiped out by this great and mighty army over there. That was the reality of where they were living. And they weren't able by faith to connect God's promises to the reality of life. So they took the coward's way out, and this is what they did. The first thing is this. Cowards get angry at God and they quit. And that's what the children of Israel did, that first generation. They got angry at God. It would be better that we died in Egypt. At least we would have died with full bellies, right? And they got angry at God and they quit on God. A good example for us is Psalm 73. Many of us know it. Psalm 73, the psalmist, right? He looks at the world, he looks at the wicked, they're all prospering, they're all going forward, and he says, what is this? He doesn't mention it in that psalm, but he might as well. He says, where's all the promises of God? What good has it done me to follow God? Until he goes into the sanctuary, he tells us, and then he sees it, you know. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, now I understand. It's not all about what happens today. It's not all about that. You know, what success and this. It's all about God and the end of our lives, right? Great psalm. Watch out for getting angry and quitting on God just because things aren't going your way. Just because the promises don't seem like they're matching the reality, don't quit on God. The second thing is this. Cowards take the easy way out. They took the easy way out by saying, we're not going to believe you, God. What do we read? The Apostle Paul says, they just, and I think it's Hebrews too, they didn't mix the word they heard, that promise, they didn't mix it with faith. Here's the thing with faith. Now listen to me. I know I'm going to wrap this up in a miracle couple of minutes. But you know what? Here's the thing with faith. I read it in the Bible. I read this in the Bible about faith. Faith isn't easy. You know?
Preach it.
Thank you. I like her. You know, pastors go into their studies and they come out with great and wonderful lights. The Bible says, ready? I read this. Faith is a fight. Did you all know that? Faith is a fight, you know? Now, the Bible doesn't say it's a lousy fight. It feels that way sometimes. Getting the promises of God into our reality is sometimes feels like a lousy fight, you know? And it just doesn't feel like it's working, doesn't look like it's working. But the Bible doesn't say it's a lousy fight. The Bible says it's the good fight of faith. So maybe you're at a point where you're saying, God, I just want to take the easy way out. Satan tried to get Jesus to do that, didn't he? When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, I'm not going to go over it tonight, but take a look at that passage of Scripture from Matthew. Every one of those temptations was a shortcut. Let me pick out one. Satan says, look, just bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms. Jesus came to win the kingdoms. When you get to Revelation, finally all the kingdoms belong to him. But he couldn't take the easy way out. He had to suffer. Third thing, cowards always think they know best. Am I right? Cowards always think they know best. The children of Israel, that first generation, they knew what was best. This is too hard. We're going to get wiped out. We can't cross it. God, nice promises, but this is the reality. This is life down here. How many times have you told God? Let's get real here. You know? It ain't going to happen. Not for me. All those glorious stories, they're like my friend, they're making that up, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what the children of Israel did. God, I know better. I know better. You know, faith may be a good fight, but sometimes the fight ain't worth it. Or how about you tell God this, God, I have to pick my battles, you know? I have to pick my battles. Well, here's a good one for that. Remember what the Holy Spirit said in Proverbs 3:5, we all know this, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. One of the big ones that we come back is, but God gave me a brain. Not much. But God gave me a brain, right? We can think. The Holy Spirit says, I know, but lean not to your own understanding. Bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. That means surrender sometimes. And some of you have tremendous brains. You do. I can't see them. But your actions show you do. But you need to surrender that to God. And then watch what wisdom can do. Right? Okay. The path called faith. Take a look at this. Just three things about faith. And the first one is this. We see this with Joshua, who got those promises of God, got the instructions and the conditions, and obeyed them. Faith takes Scripture seriously. Takes the Word of God seriously. You know? How do you do? You know, takes the Word of God. God, I believe it. Absolutely. And you know, if you're going to take the Word of God seriously, then you guess what? You need to know it. You need to know the Word of God. Remember a few years ago they came out with those bracelets? What would Jesus do? Remember that? Wasn't that a cool thing? We were handing them out. You know, that. You know, what is it? How I got to think of, talk about brains, I have to think of the initials. Thank you. WWJD. I had a moment there, you know? Everybody had that. What would Jesus do, brother? Do you know the thing with that is, I like them, the reminder, but a lot of people, and people in the world were wearing these, they had no idea what Jesus said, you know? So how could they ever know what Jesus would do? They make it up. I think Jesus would do this. Really. And sometimes in the body of Christ, too, we haven't really looked at the commands of Christ, but we go into this, what would Jesus do in this situation? You know? And it's kind of like fairy dust stuff. Because you have no idea what Jesus would do. You never really studied what Jesus did in the Bible. So we kind of make up our own idea of, I think Jesus would probably strike that person dead. Right? I'm telling you, I talk with some Christians like that. You know? We need to know what Jesus would do. Let me ask you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my what? Do you know the commandments of Jesus? Do you know those commandments? We need to know them, right? Number two, faith obeys even when it's scary. Even when you're frightened. Even when you're trembling. You know you're at that crossroads and now you understand God and you're afraid and it looks frightening and again the promises don't seem to meet the realities. I mean, the giants are giants, amen? They're big, scary, the reality giants. The challenges that we have. You know, whether it's physical or emotional or financial, a giant's a giant and we need the reality. That's the reality. But even though we're scared, we choose to believe God's word. The third thing is faith trusts God more than yourself. And that's hard. That's hard. Faith has to trust God more than yourself, more than your own thoughts, more than you're telling yourself, but this is what I think. Let me give you, throw some real quick things at you. Simple things, simple, nothing big. I know that pastor saying to raise his hands or they're telling me that I should worship the Lord or, you know, it's simple things like that. But I'm thinking, I don't do that. I don't need to do that. Sometimes we think ourselves out of the promised land. We do. We just think ourselves out of the promised land, you know? They're hitting that first generation. They stood on the brink of that promised land and they thought themselves out of it. And instead of obeying. Well, let me close with a New Testament verse. I think, again, many of us are familiar with this verse, but it sums up the principle of Joshua. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. This is what we read there. The Holy Spirit writes through the Apostle Paul and says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." I love that verse. Now I have to say there was a time in my life when I was like, God, that verse doesn't work for me. You know? Just doesn't work for me. It seems like you've given me a temptation that is just, I don't get it, God. Here's the thing. Am I on my third ending? Pray it through, people. Here's the thing with this. And I gave God the business about this verse. Saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to yield. I want this besetting sin to be gone. God, I want to conquer. And you know, it was like I was standing at a crossroads and I said, Lord, I want all those promises to be fulfilled in me, but I don't get it. It ain't happening. And this verse tells you there's one road that God's going to give you. Listen to me. There's one road that God's going to give you. And that name of that road is obedience. The name of the road is obedience. It's your escape. It's your escape. Too often we're telling God what we can't do and not listening to what he's telling us to do. And if we would just stop telling God, giving him the list, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, and shut up enough to listen to God say, I just want you to do this. And victory comes. Victory comes. Because, folks, it goes back to the simple theological truth. We can't win God's favor. We don't have merit for God's favor. Nothing's going to bring God. We can't jump up and down to spiritual calisthenics again. What we need to do is the will of God. That brings the victory of God. So this verse from 1 Corinthians just simply says this. Look, I promise you, God says, that when you're at that crossroad and you don't know which, and it's so confusing, you don't know which road, there's this road, I could go that road, take the road called obedience. That's the road of escape. And you'll know, it's different for every one of us, you'll know absolutely at that time that that road will bring you to where you're meant to be, that promised land. A great song for us to sing in our hymnals is 365. Shall we? Let's stand together in closing and sing that.
God, that we will trust the promises of God, be ready for any instruction you give us, meet all the conditions in simple obedience. And we ask that as we go tonight, Lord, you'll refresh us, give us a good night, rest in you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.